Palestinian Center for the Study of Nonviolence opened in Arab East Jerusalem. And it began to translate the writings of Gandhi and Martin Luther King and Jean Sharp into Arabic. It distributed them in the tens of thousands. Sometimes the translations were just left lying on the buses in bundles in hopes that people would take them and just disseminate them throughout the society. One of the main documents that was circulating in the 1980s was by Jean Sharp, and it was entitled in English, Power, Struggle, and Defense. It's really not available in English, but it was translated into Arabic and Hebrew, and that was in wide distribution. This and other materials argued that guerrilla warfare confronted Israel where the Palestinians were weakest. Simultaneously, trial exercises of using nonviolent struggle began in Palestinian villages as settlers would move fences overnight. Villagers would use other approaches to reclaim and retain their land. In November 1986, Jean Sharp, from whom you're going to hear on Thursday, traveled to Israel and the West Bank for the first time. He spoke to Israeli strategic studies specialists in Tel Aviv and visited the Knesset. He explained that nonviolent struggle would give greater power to the Palestinians in pursuing independence, but would also relieve the Israelis of the problem of terrorism. And therefore, he said to the Israelis, it would be in your interest not to impose severe repression that would drive the Palestinians back into violence. He spoke to Palestinian and Israeli audiences, talks open to everyone. Subsequently, 2 months after the outbreak of the 1987 Intifada, in February 1988, he would travel again to Israel and the Palestinian areas. And later he shared with me his reports of those trips. I also interviewed many people who had heard him speak. I know from those interviews that his lectures were influential with the Palestinians. And of all the ideas that were jockeying pushed by the activist intellectuals, none was so important as the insight that the Palestinians themselves were helping to sustain the belligerent occupation by their obedience to it, and that they were capable of withdrawing their cooperation. His sessions in Israel were very potent also. I later interviewed the former chief psychologist of the Israel Defense Forces, Reuven Gaul, who told me that Jean's engagement with the Israeli security establishment was effectual in urging restraint in the Israeli response to the uprising. The Israelis never used tanks against the Intifada, and there were restraints. The whole Southern Command, as they called it, of Israel, was given a digest of Jean Sharp's lectures to the establishment of the and what the top brass had heard. So on December 9, 1987, when four Palestinians were waiting at a checkpoint, an Israeli checkpoint for Palestinians traveling from the occupied territories into Israel, a tsunami broke when four Palestinians were killed. And within 1 month, there were harmonized actions visible. So if you can think of your tables as different parts of the occupied territories, there might be a march of only women in your table. There might be public prayers in your table. There might be the hanging of forbidden Palestinian flags all over your village here. There might be a vigil there. There might be a demonstration with old women at the front back there. Here, the youth might be doing something else. So harmonized actions began to appear, and they moved all over the society. Clearly, there was an effort to spread the fatigue and not to centralize, because when you have everybody in the square, in the central square, it's very easy to destroy that mobilization.